Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source, grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get some notebook, paper, and a pen to take notes in the show. First, as always, we like to look at some debt-related news and facts for the week. Reported in the news this week, jobless claims fall from seven-year high. From CNNMoney.com, the number of out-of-work Americans filing new claims for unemployment insurance last week edged off a seven-year high, but was higher than economists' estimates, according to a government report released this Thursday. The U.S. Department of Labor reported that initial filings for state jobless benefits decreased by 20,000 to a seasonally adjusted 478,000 in the week that ended October 4th. Economists surveyed expected the number to decline to 475,000. For the week ending September 27th, unemployment claims spiked to an upward revised 498,000. That week, jobless claims were the highest recorded since the 517,000 claims filed in the week of the September 11th terrorist attack. In addition, last week the Labor Department reported that the U.S. economy lost 159,000 jobs in September, the ninth straight month of losses in a year that has seen 760,000 jobs disappear so far in America. In September, the unemployment rate remained unchanged for the month, but already in October we're seeing higher unemployment right from the beginning. This week, eBay announced that it is cutting 1,600 jobs, about 10% of its workforce. The nation is battling a financial crisis that has resulted in bank failures, a lending freeze to businesses, and steep drops in the stock market. Last Thursday, the Bush administration is considering taking ownership stakes in certain U.S. banks to further combat the crisis, according to media reports. Last Friday, Congress reported the $700 billion bank bailout, allowing the Treasury to buy bad debt directly from banks. In other news, a foreclosure victim, a 90-year-old woman, apparently shoots herself. This story from the Beacon Journal. At age 90, Addie Polk found herself in foreclosure this week, about to be forced from the home she's lived in for nearly 40 years. So, with a gun in her hand, the Akron widow apparently shot herself in the chest Wednesday afternoon as deputies were knocking on her door with eviction papers. While a nation reels in financial crises from years of mortgage abuse, Polk is recovering at Akron General Medical Center, awaiting word on where she will live when she's released. Meanwhile, city leaders say Polk has become Akron's poster child for victims of predatory lenders. I think this is a case where we need to step in and help this lady if she is so desperate to shoot herself because she can't pay her mortgage, Akron Councilman Marco Somerville said. Court records show Polk took out a 30-year, 6.3% mortgage just 4 years ago for $46,620 with a countrywide home loan office in Cuyahoga Falls. She took out a line of credit the same day for $11,380. Her LaCroix Avenue home was appraised by Summit County in 2004 at only $31,230. The countrywide branch did not return any calls for comments. Polk essentially owed the same $45,000 when the Federal National Mortgage Association, Fannie Mae, filed for foreclosure on her home in 2007. Fannie Mae assumed the mortgage from Countrywide. Following foreclosure this year, Polk's six-room, 101-year-old home was bought by Fannie Mae at sheriff's auction for $28,000. Her house now belongs to the lender. The Summit County Sheriff deputies say Polk ignored multiple notes and letters leading up to a Wednesday eviction. She also ignored the foreclosure action filed in court. It wasn't until Tuesday that she called the sheriff's office in disbelief. The next day was the eviction. On positive, she believed the deputies were going to come in, clean out the house, and set her and her things on the curb because they did that decades ago. But that's not what happens nowadays, Sheriff's Lieutenant Candy Fathery said. I'm sure she had to be thinking back to the Great Depression when people were set out on the street. She had to be scared to death. Deputies Dave Bailey, Jason Beam, and Don Fathery went to the home about 1 p.m. Wednesday to meet with a Fannie Mae representative and escort Polk from the house. They said they had no idea the woman was 90 years old. The deputy's knocks were unanswered, and they were about to leave because the Fannie Mae representative failed to show anyway. Then they heard a banging noise coming from the home's second floor. Next door, neighbor Robert Dillon heard it too. More bangs followed. Dillon borrowed a neighbor's ladder and climbed through Polk's second floor bathroom window and walked into her bedroom. She was lying on her side, a gun next to her on the bed. I'm thinking to myself, why does Mrs. Polk got a gun? Dillon said. After looking around, I touched her shoulder and saw the blood. Dillon, 62, shouted to the deputies who alerted Akron EMS. Polk apparently shot herself more than once with a small caliber handgun, police said. Polk and her late husband, Robert, a Goodrich retiree, moved into the home in 1970. He died in 1995, but Polk continued to live independently, alone, still driving her late model Chevrolet to the grocery store and church. She appeared to be struggling financially, Dillon said, but he said she never spoke of the foreclosure action looming for more than a year. She had no children of her own and only a few visitors, he said. She didn't need no help. She got around good, he said. It is unclear how Polk used the loan money. Dillon said he didn't notice any work being done on the property, and deputies said her front porch was soft from years of neglect. Where'd the money go? Dillon asked. Somerville said he is working with the city and the county to assist Polk with housing once she is released from the hospital. He said the city has been awarded more than $8 million in federal grants in the wake of the mortgage crisis to help cope with the crush. Somerville said Polk's fate humanizes the problem for the rich and poor, and he urges those facing foreclosure to seek assistance through various local and county agencies. It's a sad situation, he said. She's the poster child for this foreclosure crisis we are facing. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. And as an addition to the Addie Polk story, Fannie Mae said it will set aside the loan of Addie Polk from Akron, Ohio, and she became a symbol of the nation's home mortgage crisis when she was hospitalized after shooting herself at least twice in the upper body Wednesday afternoon. On Friday, Fannie Mae spokesman Brian Faith said that the Mortgage Association had decided to halt action against Polk and sign the property outright to her. We're going to forgive her whatever outstanding balance she had on the loan and give her the house, Faith said. Given the circumstances, we think it's appropriate. Residents of Akron have rallied behind Polk, who is being treated at Akron General Medical Center. She was listed in critical condition Friday afternoon, according to the Akron City Council President Marco Somerville. U.S. Representative Dennis Kucinich, a Democrat of Ohio, mentioned Polk on the House floor Friday during the debate over the latest economic rescue proposal. Quote, this bill does nothing for the Addie Polks of the world, Kucinich said after telling her story. This bill fails to address the fact that millions of homeowners are facing foreclosure, are facing the loss of their home. This bill will take care of Wall Street, and the market may go up for a few days, but democracy is going downhill. And of course, Kucinich was talking about the $700 billion bailout bill. And from Elizabeth McDonald, she says, "Now we have the $700 billion bailout, the mega bailout creating the mega dumpster of all to buy that rotting paper that was crafted by habitually self-deceiving, uberistic hustlers on Wall Street who, unburdened by conscience, felt entitled to follow their own codes of conduct as they went berserk, enriching themselves." So obviously, we're in some deep water here with all of these bailouts and this money just floating around and flying around with all the great geniuses on Wall Street, in big business, and in Congress right now trying to correct the problems. So now let's move on to the more creative and productive part of this program by looking at ourselves and our formulas for creating some stability, getting out of debt, and making a future financially for yourself. As I like to start out with, there is an important credit here, as the thoughts, ideas, and examples used in this program are from or based on the work, theories, and books of Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tyagi, two of America's leading champions for debtors, and I recommend their books, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. We'd like to start by recapping last week's educational portion, and you can also go to the archives at www.kruufm.com, Life and Debt, to listen to last week's show and prior shows. We were discussing creating your own personal repayment plan to get out of debt. And one of the main themes was to actually get into your savings account, presuming you have any savings, but any source of savings that you have. And that's not the amount of money that you have in your credit cards that's left over, that's unspent. That's just more debt. And it's not including your 401k or your IRA, where you would get tax penalties making taking that money too expensive, but just generally your piggy bank, your bank accounts, any place that you have savings, and of course not the equity that you have in your house. That's another forbidden place to go into. And just have about $1,000 to $2,000, that's all that you should have around in your account for an emergency fund, but putting everything else that you have into paying down your debt. And that may sound a little extreme, but when you actually look at the numbers and consider the math, your savings account's giving you very little earnings, whereas your credit card debt and most other debt that you're going to have, that unsecured debt particularly, it's going to be much, much higher, 18% or higher usually. And so you're gaining very little, a couple dollars per hundred on your savings account, and paying out $18 or more per hundred on your loans. So we want to get rid of that, but you're losing $15 on each $100. But of course, as I said, you have to keep a little reserve just in case there is an emergency and you want to prevent yourself from sliding back into credit card debt or that trap when something goes wrong. If you do use that $1,000 to $2,000, then you have to replace that also as soon as possible. And the good thing is that as you pay off this unsecured debt, you're watching those balances, particularly on those credit cards, go down month after month. And it's very satisfying. You do get that feeling of progress in your life. And last week, we also looked at the reality of the 20% savings earmark for debt payment. When we had our formula, we had our bare necessities at 50% of our net disposable income and our wants or the fund value at 30% for the things that were beyond the must-haves. So that's 80% totally, and the other value that we took out of the net disposable income that was left over, the 20%, was for savings. And this is the money that you'll use to get rid of your debts. And every week you can just, or every paycheck that is, you can just take that money and pay off debt. And really, when you think about it, it's a fairly simple practice. You got your 50% for your bare necessities, your 30% for your fun money or the things that you want, and then you have this 20%, which is just 0.2 times the paycheck balance. And that's what you take and you put it towards your debts, keeping that 20% every single month, paying down those debts until assuredly there will be no more debt. I also discussed tackling one of your debts at a time. You need to pay everything off, obviously, but you pick one and you throw everything at it until that debt is gone, and then you pick a second debt and you keep doing that while, of course, you're paying the bare minimums on the other loans that you have for the month. But you take one at a time and you wipe it out. And of course, when one gets wiped out, you have more left over to pay off the next. And the next point that we discussed was paying off the debts that bother you most. And you can pay whatever you want based on your desires. First of all, obviously you have to pay your rent, your mortgage, your car payment, those kinds of things you just pay first. But then your second level, beyond the rent, the mortgage, the car payment, the child support, these are a given, you have to do these, is you pay the debt that bothers you most, the ones that make your blood boil, the ones that are based on a quarrel with your spouse, your mate, or an IOU for a family member that's embarrassing. Those are the ones that you pay. If it's a certain credit card company that is aggravating you, you pay that first. Whether or not there's a financial logic about it, it's not necessary that you're comparing the interest rates, although generally the highest interest rates ones would want to come down first, but you tackle the ones that really have some essence of life drain in them, so they're taking some energy out of you. And this is true for all of us. There's something about certain debts, even though it's not the highest interest rate or the biggest amount that we owe, that really can be aggravating. So we attack those first. And with that, you'll get the energy back in your life and you'll get a little bit more of the bounce back into your step as you are improving your balance sheet. And this is a very important thing because that builds on itself. You get stronger, you get happier, you have more satisfaction, and then you start each day new, fresh, not taking on any more debt and dealing with the debt that you have, and suddenly you feel like you're going to be able to accomplish this. This is something that is going to work for you, and you will see it happen. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. We're talking about paying off your past debt so you don't have any more debt in the future. You'll just have savings. One very important and critical point that we raised in the past is never tap into your home equity. There's a lot of programs out there, advertisements, that are trying to get you to consolidate your debt, lower your interest payments, and save money on taxes. These are all kind of lures to getting you into a second mortgage or a home equity line of credit. It's almost a national fever, but it is not sound thinking for almost everyone. It sounds so great and sophisticated, but it's going deeper into debt and putting your homestead, your house, at risk. It's dangerous, really dangerous, and you can't borrow your way out of debt ever. So don't use that home equity to pay off other debt, because you're just creating debt and you're creating it in a place that is really the most dangerous for you. Home equity loans put your home at risk, and every time you borrow against your home, you are putting the place you live on a roulette wheel, essentially, and you have to be able to come up with every single payment. And In fact, if we look at the statistics, people who have done this, one out of every 11 subprime debt consolidation loans are in foreclosure. And these are people who cleverly were lured into tapping their home equity, and now they've lost their home. And the second point is that if you look at the truth behind the advertisements and the actual money that is saved, in fact, you don't save very much when you first look at the amounts of the closing costs, the amounts of the interest that are being given, the term, the adjustable rates, and of course the rest of the economy. In these analyses, we see that no one's saving any money here. But what you're doing is you are creating big financial problems for yourself. And if you are already in financial trouble, going into a high-cost second mortgage is not going to help you at all. So what is created by this is basically a slippery slope by moving into the equity that you have. So the sum of it is that you are just better off buckling down and paying off your debt, paying off your credit cards, while keeping the people away from your home that are trying to suck up the equity from it. And a third point, a new point, is really, some people say the only way to tap into your home equity is to sell your home. And you may say, well, that's a pretty good idea. My home some years ago was worth $200,000, and now it's worth $300,000. Boy, what I really could do with that $100,000. But what you find is that as soon as you start thinking that, you notice that there are these home equity loans that are coming into your email box or your home box, and you start thinking about these home equity solicitations and plans. But you have to think of your home in different terms. It's not cash in a savings bank. It's a roof over your head for yourself and your family, and it is a very precious thing. It's not just equity that's lying around that you can tap into. That's a very wrong thinking. That is just really a bad idea. Of course, it is true, if you want that money to pay off debt, what you're going to need to do is to sell your house and move into a cheaper place. And that may work for you, but there is no way you should get sucked into that talk about putting your equity to work for you, other than, as I said, cutting back on the standard of living that you are accustomed to in your current house. That certainly will change your equation by quite a lot, but it also is a very, very different standard of living that you're used to. You will definitely be moving down in quality of home if you do this. And another caveat is, in the current market, the value of homes is maneuvering so much that, in fact, this could be problematic for many people in different parts of the city, the state, and the country, where the mortgage situation, the foreclosures, are having a huge impact on the value of neighborhoods and homes. Okay, now what about the situation where you already have a home equity loan? Well, a home equity loan you have to treat in the very same way you treat a first mortgage on your house, whether that's your second mortgage equity loan or a HELOC loan. You have to pay it just like your first mortgage. You have to keep current 100% every month. You don't want to get behind at all, even for a half a month, because this will create very great risks and sometimes nightmares in the way the banks actually account for all of the money that you are paying. And without getting into all the details of that, just have blinders on. Mortgage, first, second, home equity loan, they're all needing to be paid every month on time, 100%. And of course, once you have paid off your other debt, your unsecured debt that we've been dealing with, it is a good idea to attack the mortgages, and you would pay off your second mortgage first, because that generally has a higher interest rate. It may be adjustable, and it may also be a balloon kind of mortgage. And so we want to get rid of that home equity loan as quickly as possible. However, that's after you are down to no more debt that is stealing from tomorrow. Now, the next thing we're going to look at are really the tricks that people use and you have to watch out for, really the ways not to get out of debt, because you're in financial trouble, but you also have kind of a look about you, and people seem to come out of nowhere and offer you a helping hand by phone, by email, by advertising, on television, and they claim that they really understand what's going on with you and that they can help. But the first point is that they are not your friends, that they're not really helpers at all, that they are looking for profits, their own profits, and they do wear different disguises that you have to be careful for, that is to look out for. In essence, there are five myths about getting out of debt. And so the myth number one is debt consolidation can reduce your debt. Well, the truth is, and the fact is, that there are no shortcuts to getting your debt paid off. That is a fact. Myth number two, a not-for-profit credit counselor can be trusted to give you good advice. The fact is that many not-for-profit credit counselors steal your money and ruin your credit rating. The third myth is tapping into your home equity is a smart way to pay off your credit cards. We went over that today. A home equity loans can put your home at risk. The fifth myth is that a credit repair kit or a FICO repair kit can improve your credit score. And you need to know that there are no quick fixes. That's a fact. The best way to improve your credit score is to pay your bills on time and pay in full. And then finally, the myth is so long as you make your payments, the interest on your credit card will stay the same from month to month. The fact is that credit card companies can increase your interest rate whenever they want, so watch your bill carefully. In the future, we will go into many of these issues and these myths in great depth, but for now, let's just introduce the credit counseling theme. Credit counseling can sound very appealing. You seem to be getting an expert on your side, and yet there are many, many slick operators who do little more than take your money and leave you much deeper in debt. When you have nothing left to pay your counselors, they often stop counseling and move on to the next person. There are, of course, some decent credit counselors out there, but there's really no easy way to distinguish the good guys from the bad guys. And that distinction or separation usually comes when it's too late. I've had clients who have paid tens of thousands of dollars to these companies and have gotten no benefit out of it at all. And some of these companies now are in receivership or under investigation. Another credit counseling kind of scam is the not-for-profit or the religious counseling agencies. Again, there are some good ones out there, but there are too many operations that are not good. They're crooked. They're bogus nonprofit shells that funnel money to their owners. And they are hiding behind a false identity, pretending to be charitable or religious. And they're really trying to steal from good-hearted people. And then a third twist is those kinds of agencies that charge only a voluntary fee or no fee at all. In fact, it turns out that many of them get their operating money from big banks or credit card issuers, and they are looking out for the big corporation, not for you, and they're trying to get money from you. And part of the difficulty is they never tell you the truth about who they are or what your options are. For example, some of them, if they even buy their company policies, even mention the word bankruptcy, they get fired. And they certainly will not tell you you are a victim of a credit card scam. And it is almost universal that they deal only with credit card and similar debts, and they won't help you with your mortgage debt or your car loan, so just unsecured loan. So until there are stricter regulations on all of these companies, it is very, very important that you're cautious, and I would suggest you don't deal with them. We will continue on this theme next week, and this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life in Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.